Hello and welcome to your accomplishing tape. Yes, it's the first of 2014. First tape, CD, whichever it is that you are receiving. So very, very happy new year to all of you. And many of you will be receiving that in all different circumstances. So I do just pray that as I say happy new year to each one of you, all of you are able to find something that you can really look forward to for 2014. It's an exciting time starting a new year with all new ideas forming in people's heads. And I know too that the Lord has lots of new directions for all of us to go this year. So let's look forward to 2014. But also let's thank God for 2013. Now, we know that throughout our year, some of the things that have happened haven't necessarily been really good things, and we perhaps don't feel like praising the Lord for them. But in all things, we need to thank God. We need to thank God because he is our Lord, our Saviour, and he's never, ever left our side. So let's start, shall we, by thanking God, by singing a song that all of us know so very well, and it is a real praise one. So let's join together with "To God Be the Glory."
Father, through Jesus,
That was good, wasn't it? Singing that very, very familiar song together. I hope you joined in with it, because I was joining in here, although you wouldn't want to hear my voice. But I was singing along here, praising the Lord, and I hope you were too, because there have been, if you really think about it, there have been some good things in 2013. And I know that as we look to 2014, perhaps some of us aren't really looking forward to it. But I hope and pray that by the end of this particular CD and tape that you will find something that indeed you will be looking forward to in 2014. So last time when I spoke to you, I did ask if you would send in your subs, £13.20 for your Come Fishing, and if you are receiving this today, then you will have obviously paid that. So well done, thank you very much. Please do let other people know about Come Fishing. If you know of anybody who would like to receive it, please let us know, and we'll send them a sample copy, and they can listen to that and make up their own minds whether they would like it regularly. It would be good to have more people receiving Come Fishing. Well now, Christmas has happened, hasn't it? Yes, it kind of came and went for me. I don't know about you, but there was a lead up to Christmas, buying all the presents, doing them all up, wondering how you're going to get them to the various different people. And I did Celia's as well as my own this year, so there was quite a lot to be done. And I found myself decorating my living room more than I have done other years, and got ready for Christmas. And then when Christmas morning came, it was a bit of a dull morning, wasn't it? In fact, having said that, the very beginning of the morning, the sun was really bright, and as I was driving down to Tunbridge Wells, I know I had to have my visor on to stop the sun actually catching me, but very soon the rain came, the wind came, and it was weather-wise not a brilliant day. But Christmas is always a time of giving, isn't it, and receiving. And as most of you know, I went down to my sister's, and there my niece was there, my great niece, who's 5 now. Remember when she was born? Some of you will remember that. Emily is 5 now, and certainly a little lady, far, far more grown up than she was even 6 months ago. And she started school, and things come into the conversation now that never used to. Things like, it's not fair. Do you remember those days when you used to say that? Yep. Well, that's what's creeping in now a bit. But we had a good time. And it was we had some lovely food cooked by the men. And we were very, very, very spoilt over many things. And had some lovely presents. And enjoyed us being together as a family just for those few hours. I came home in order to... I wanted to watch Call the Midwife. I don't know about whether you watch that, but I do, and I wanted to watch that evening, and I didn't want to have to travel down the M25 in the dark. So Christmas Day was a reasonably nice day weather-wise, and lovely in the way of presents and people. And when I came back home, it was nice to be able to just relax and to watch the things that I wanted to watch on the television. I wonder what you did at Christmas time. I know all of us seem to do different things, don't we? On the radio, it said that there are a lot of people who never get dressed on Christmas Day. Well, certainly I do. And I hope that you do too. I know Christmas Day in our home, when I was a child, was always a day when you dressed up in your Sunday best. And you really... had to look smart for Christmas Day. And that still kind of carries on. I don't know about you, but when you're brought up in a certain way, it seems to linger, doesn't it? And I still try and look nice on Christmas Day. So I wore a nice new sweater as well. I love sweaters. So that was nice. I had a new one I could wear on Christmas Day. We're going to have another song now. And we're going to have one that is quite an old one, really. It's a hymn. And it's one that I really like. I love the words to it. And I think as we go into 2014, this is one that we could take with us. It's something that we're asking the Lord to do. We're asking the Lord to be our vision. That's an old-fashioned word, isn't it? But we want him to lead us and guide us through 2014, don't we? So here we go.
Thou with me, Lord.
Be thou my vision. Yes, I think we could safely say, couldn't we, that in 2014, that's exactly what we want God to be doing for us, giving us the vision, that he is the vision, so that we aim to be more and more like him. In fact, that whole hymn had some lovely, lovely words in it, and I was listening to it so carefully. I had meant to write down a few things, but didn't really manage to do that. But what did come through to me was the hymn is basically saying that by day and by night, God is with us, leading us, guiding us, being our vision. I think that's lovely, don't you? So let's take that for 2014, shall we? It's one of the things that we do as we go through this year. We just thank the Lord that he is there to give us our vision. Well, what else would I got news of? I went out this morning, and which isn't unusual, really. Decided to go a particular way to where I was going, and I went along one of the very main roads, actually, out of Esher in Surrey, and I was stopped by the police. Because across the road was a huge tree. In fact, I think it was more than one tree had come down. And that's been the story of this winter, hasn't it? The last couple of months, really. The winds. As you know, I live within a lot of trees and by a railway. And there have been days when there haven't been any trains going past at all. And looking out of the window of the room I'm in at the moment, I can see two fallen trees, not big ones, so they haven't made any impact on us here and in the flats, but they are two fallen trees, and lots of fallen trees around and about. I've seen fencing down, placards down, in fact, absolute devastation in some places, where the wind has really caught hold of stuff and moved it. I hope that you've been all right. It's been a bit wet and damp as well, hasn't it? And floods. I do hope that you weren't part of those floods. Some of the people had miserable Christmases, didn't they? No electricity and horrible water ruining their whole insides of their homes. Horrible way to have to spend Christmas, and it'll be a Christmas they'll never forget for sure. We can be praying for those people, can't we? I hope that you weren't in one of those that was affected by those floods, or for the wind in that matter. But fortunately, this afternoon, the sun has actually come out, and the wind seems to have died down. This morning it was diabolical. It was wet, it was cold, it was horrible. But this afternoon, as I'm talking to you now, the sun has come out and the squirrels are out playing. And I'm no doubt very soon the birds will be back at the bird table. And now they know the weather is nice. Birds don't like coming out in bad weather. It's I don't quite know where they go, but they don't appear in bad weather. But anyway, so we might see some as I'm talking to you today. What else has happened? Oh yes, the other day, other Saturday, it was really quite a busy day really, a gentleman from church came round and put up my new shed. I've had a new shed for my birthday, and although my birthday was a couple of months ago, the shed I wanted was actually discontinued. So I got another one, and I had to get somebody to come and put it up for me. So somebody from church very kindly came with his son, and they put it up for me. It's a very swish shed, lovely and big, and hopefully now that it's in my carport, it won't get blown over like the other one did. The other one was wooden, and it had come from the bungalow, and I've had it, oh, must be 7 or 8 years now. And it really, the bottom was rotten, the top was rotten, and Although the sides were reasonably good, the whole thing wasn't really, it certainly wasn't waterproof, and it wasn't very nice. So we dismantled the, I didn't, but my friend Mary dismantled the, together with Dave, the shed in the back, and it's now lying on the floor, all in bits, waiting to go to the tip. And then also, well, everything, of course, from that shed had to be sorted. Those things I didn't want thrown, and some taken to the tip, and then transported into the new shed. So that was quite a hive of activity that afternoon. It really was. I had some shelves to put in the new shed. I don't know whether you know when, if I say they're kind of metal shelves put together with loads and loads of nuts and bolts. The actual legs of the shelves are full of holes, and what you literally do is match up all the holes, put your bolt through it, and put the nut on the end, and eventually you've got shelving. Well, I was making that a bit bigger and twiddling my thumbs around these little nuts. But eventually it got done and we got that shelving into the new shed. I was very grateful for my chair that goes up high, because some of the shelving was quite high by the time I got the fourth. Is it the fourth shelf on? Yeah. So I lifted, was up in my wheelchair to get those last nuts and bolts on. And I'm very, very grateful for it. It's now in the shed, and once the weather is nicer, I shall go and make that new shed look really smart and get things in order in there. At the moment, they're kind of just put in, so that they're in the dry and out of the way, but when the weather is nicer. And also, just in front of the shed, it seems as if it's kind of a gathering place for leaves. We have got thousands of leaves. It's about 2 foot high, this pile of leaves, and I suppose about 6 foot by four, something like that. A whole pile of leaves that are just from everywhere else have just blown into my corner of the carport. So if nobody comes, I shall have to see. Well, I won't have to, but I might go out and see if I can move some of those, because I can't actually get to the shed very well. Anyway, hopefully the actual gardener will come and do that for us very soon. We're going to have another song now, and then and it's one that I love, and it's one also that I think is very, what shall I say, it kind of directs us in the right pathway. And as we're going into a new year, this particular one, to me, is, it just says it all for me. It says the way that I want to go for this new year. And, well, the title says it all. So the title is, All the Way My Saviour Leads Me. Let's listen to it, shall we?
My Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whatever for me, Jesus doeth all things well. All of the way Savior leads me. Cheers each winding path I tread. He gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with living bread. And though my weary steps may falter, and my soul others may be gushing from.
Yes, Jesus led me all the way. That's what we want to be able to say, don't we? We want to be able to say that we've been aware of Jesus' presence and that indeed he has shown us the way ahead. At the moment, none of us know what 2014 is going to bring with us. Maybe we planned a few things. I know that I booked a couple of holidays, for instance. But we don't know how that's all going to pan out. We don't know what's going to happen day by day, but we do know we can trust Jesus to lead us all the way. And if we put our hearts, our bodies, our minds, our actions, our thoughts into his hands, then he will remain with us and lead us all the way. Now we're going to be thinking a little bit more about what 2014 could be bringing for us on the other side. And I've just been changing over my diaries, and on my diary I always put a saying on the outside of it, so when I put it down on the table at a meeting, people can actually read it, and maybe they're not Christians and they might just find something useful on the top of my diary. So there's a new one for this year, and we're going to talk about that on the other side of our tape. So those of you with a tape, you turn over now, and if you've got a CD, there'll be a little bit of a gap and then you'll continue. So let's turn our tape over now. Right, as we were saying, I was saying on the other side of our this tape, or the Come Fishing, my diary has been renewed, replenished. I've got a purple one this year and a red one last year. But the new one has got another saying on it. And the saying this year that I put on the top of my diary is, life is fragile. Handle with prayer. Let me say it again. Life is fragile. Handle with prayer. Now, obviously, most people would have said, handle with care, because that's the note that you get on top of a parcel that has something that's breakable in it. Fragile, handle with care. This is, life is fragile. Handle with prayer. And that's really struck a chord with me, because I think this year is going to be a year when so many of us will rely on prayer. We should always rely on prayer, to be honest, because it's communicating. Prayer is literally just communicating with our God and keeping in touch with him and knowing what he would like us to do, where he would like us to go, how he would like us to act and react. But I feel that this coming year is going to be very, very significant for all of us in our prayer lives. I wonder how many times a day you pray. And maybe you're saying, well, I don't know that I even pray once a day. Sometimes I pray when I go to sleep. Sometimes I pray if there's something emergency crops up. I know. It's easy to get so that we don't actually have a prayer time. But you know, we don't have to actually have a prayer time. Lots and lots of us do, because otherwise we wouldn't pray for all those who we promised to pray for. But it is also a conversation that we have with God. That's what prayer is. And so that can be going on all day. You can be, talking to him in your heart, or you can talk to him aloud at any time during the day. And sometimes some of the simplest things that we say are actually prayers. And it's just so simple, really, just chatting to God. And that's what he wants our day to be like. Communication with him. Talking our day over with him. Settling matters with him. Finding out what he thinks about things and which way he would like us to go. And so I thought we would start 2014 by thinking about what Jesus says to us about prayer. Because prayer is going to be very significant over this next year. Life is fragile. Handle with prayer. And if your life was handled with prayer, my life was handled with prayer, we would be in an amazing place with God. And that's where I'd like us to all to be in 2014. So when I thought of prayer, I turned to the very, very familiar passage that we have about prayer and all that Jesus says about prayer in Matthew chapter 6. In my Bible, the passage is actually headed the model prayer. But that really means that Jesus gave us an example to follow, and some of us, and many, many people, have followed it ever since. We know it, don't we, as the Lord's Prayer. That's the Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That prayer, that was one of the very first things my mother ever taught me. When I was small, I was taught to say the Lord's Prayer. I was also taught another prayer. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Anybody else taught that? Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Yes, that was also taught to me, and I used to say that of an evening. Nowadays, I don't know how many people are taught the Lord's Prayer. But nevertheless, it is still said in churches, and lots of people know this prayer. Many people never have prayed any other. But you know, the Lord doesn't just tell us to do that, to say that prayer. He tells us lots more in that particular chapter of how we should act prayerfully. So prayer isn't just talking to God. It's living prayerfully. It's living a life of prayer. And God gives us, and Jesus gives us, examples of how to do this. He goes through with the disciples one or two things that are really important to him. He stresses as he has, we have these verses on prayer. So let's have a look at what he actually says, shall we? And see where we fit in to this pattern that he's given us. Chapter 6 of Matthew and verse 5. And it starts, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men." Now, this brings to mind just how, or maybe more, where we actually pray. Do you think it's important to actually pray in a specific place? Perhaps you do. If you've been brought up to actually go to bed at night and kneel beside your bed, that would be your specific place to pray. Other people will pray standing up. Some will pray sitting down. Some will pray in bed. But we don't have to have a specific place to pray. Prayer can happen all day, any day, at any time during that day. And Jesus is saying here, when you pray, don't let everybody see that you're actually praying. Now, he wasn't saying, I want you to always pray alone and in secret. He wasn't saying that. But what he was saying is, don't make a big show of it. In other words, don't make other people feel that they should be doing exactly the same as you. It's very easy, isn't it? You think prayer is important, and it is important. It's similarly with anything that you think particularly important. We have a tendency, don't we, to try and get others to do the same because it's important to us. And it's exactly the same with prayer. Some of us are very devoted to prayer. Some people spend hours in prayer. But that's not everyone. That's not everyone. And other people do it in short, sharp snatches. Some people would be praying all day with little prayers that come to their lips. Other people will have a specific time when they spend half an hour, maybe an hour, actually talking to the Lord in a specific place about specific things. All different ways of praying. But, said Jesus, you carry on those ways of praying, but just don't make a big show of it. Don't make others feel guilty because they are not doing it. Don't show off and make out you are better than they are because you're praying a lot. Now, perhaps you're thinking to yourself, well, nobody like that. I don't know anybody like that. But, you know, it's very easy to slip into saying something, oh, I always pray at night, or I have a quiet time at such and such time. And you make others think, I don't do that. Perhaps I'm not as good as her. Maybe I should try and do it. It's good if they do try and do it, but we don't want them to feel guilty. We don't want them to feel they're doing it wrong, because they're doing it their way. So, don't show off. Don't make a big deal about the praying that you do. Then Jesus goes on, but when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. For other words, Jesus is saying, if you want to pray for a long time, or and maybe you want to go pray on your knees, then take yourself somewhere quiet by yourself to actually do it, so that nobody gets this feeling that they should be doing it as well, or feeling of guiltiness. Now, some of us do have the luxury of being alone and able to pray anywhere in their house without any kind of interruption from others. I'm one of those. Those of us who live alone have a very great privilege, really. We're very privileged in the fact that we can spend a long time alone, and if we want, spend that time bringing people to the Lord in prayer and talking to him. But if you live in a busy household, it's very difficult to find somewhere where you can be quiet for a period of time where you can actually spend half an hour or so praying. And so, maybe if you have your own bedroom, you are able to shut yourself away in that bedroom. But otherwise, you have to find some other way of being able to talk to Jesus. And this is where the short, sharp prayers can come in. You can say, rather than having a whole half hour in one block, you can have, when people come to your mind, you can pray for them. And you don't have to pray aloud. You know how to talk to God in your heart, don't you? Well, do so then. If somebody springs to mind, then say, Dear Lord Jesus, I do just want to bring so-and-so before you because you know what's going on in their life. And that is a prayer. And that's quite sufficient because God knows everything. And he knows that you've brought them to him in prayer. And you can do this at any time. I have a friend who spends quite a lot of time with her prayers while she's standing at the sink washing up. And she uses that time in her heart to pray for the people that she said, I'll pray for you about that. We can pray to God anywhere, at any time. It does not have to be a big show. It does not have to be for a long period of time. We can have lots and lots of short prayers during the day. But a long period of time is not wrong. If that's how you have your quiet time, then your time with God in prayer, then that's fine. It just depends a lot on your circumstances. Then Jesus goes on to tell us about something else that he doesn't want us to do. Do not use vain repetitions. Do not use vain repetitions. For they, like the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Now, just now, I said a very short prayer, didn't I? I said, if you feel like saying, Dear Lord, I'm praying for so-and-so today, please help them. That is quite sufficient. God knows their situation. And all God wants is for us to bring that situation to him and to plead on their behalf. He doesn't need to know all the details, because he knows those. He's a God who knows everything. And here Jesus says, don't continue to repeat things. For other words, don't keep on and on and on in your prayer about that one particular thing. Just say it to God, and he knows. Now, I didn't see anything wrong in saying that same prayer every day for a month, a year. I don't see anything wrong in saying that. What Jesus is saying is, I don't need all the details. Just bring them before the Lord. Bring them before me. I know all about them. I know their lives. I know what they're going through. And All I want is for you to bring them to me in prayer. You don't have to repeat over and over, and you don't have to give me all the little details. A wonderful God, haven't we? Wonderful God. Then Jesus says another thing. Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Now this is often brought up a question. I know I used to ask it quite a lot. If God knows what we need before we ask him, why do we have to ask him? Well, I think for that simple, a simple example of that is, in a family, they've got children perhaps, and maybe let's take Christmas time. It's a good example, really, isn't it? If mum and dad will be saying, what should we give so-and-so for Christmas? And dad might say, well, let's wait and see what they put on their Christmas list, what they ask for. And maybe what they ask for isn't necessarily what they need, but that is what dad is waiting for them to come up with, for the person themselves to ask for it. And then dad will say, yes, you're ready for it, I will get you that for Christmas. Jesus is the same. He knows what we need, but he needs us to recognize it and to come to him and to ask him for it. He knows the beginning from the end. And he knows, too, that there are times when we stray off the path a little bit. And so he also needs, for that way, needs us to be in continual connection with him so that we can bring our needs before him, then he can act. And that, all these things that Jesus said before he actually said about the prayer, all have meaning on the prayer that we're about to hear now. Verse 9 of chapter 6 gives us what we have come to know as the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now many of us know that off by heart. I wonder where, how often we actually pray that prayer. First of all, let's think what we would pray if we did pray that prayer. Our Father in heaven. When we start our prayers, we address our prayers to someone. Jesus is saying here, you need to address your prayers to my Father. He doesn't say, Jesus in heaven. He says, our Father. And there he's talking about his God, your God, our God. He's talking about the Father of the universe, our Heavenly Father. And he says it's to him, to God, you need to bring your prayers. So you need to address it, a bit like addressing a letter, really. Our Father in heaven, dear Lord, dear Heavenly Father. And this is what we need to do. Then he says, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done. What's that all about? Basically, he's saying, give God the praise. Before you start asking for things, tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you care. Tell him how wonderful he is. What an amazing God he is. For other words, worship him. Praise him. Thank him. Jesus puts it in the words, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. This is all praise. Confirmation of what he knows God is going to do for us. It's praise, it's worship. And he adds that little phrase, which I think is lovely, on earth as it is in heaven. He wants the earth to become more like heaven. And Jesus, of course, knows what heaven is like. He wants the earth to become more like heaven. And we are the ones who can make it more like heaven. And that's his prayer. He asks us to ask that as well. Then he goes into the give us, or please can I have, or help us, Lord. He goes into the actual prayer things. And he's very practical here, because he asks, first of all, for daily sustenance, for food, daily bread. He asks for finance. He asks that we look after our finance properly, doesn't he? He asks that we'll stay away from temptation, and that we will stay in touch with him and eventually go to be with him. So he asks the fundamental things of life, doesn't he? Daily food, financial things, keeping away from wrong and evil, and then eventually coming to know and to be with God. Now that sounds very, very simple, doesn't it? We could also read it this way. Give us our daily bread. That can also be read as help us to live according to the scriptures. Daily bread is like food to us. If you literally think of a loaf of bread, yes, it is food. But we're also told that the word, the Bible, is our daily bread. And that's quite significant, isn't it? Because Jesus is saying, you must keep in touch with me. Read my word. Have that daily. And that will also be your food. But he's also, I'm quite certain of this, because Jesus was a very practical person, and he knew we needed to eat. So he's asking us for daily bread. Now, in those days, we didn't have all the cookery programs that we have today. We didn't have all these amazing recipes. We didn't have all these fancy ovens and utensils and mixers and all that to make your food. Bread was a staple diet. It was the diet that was given at virtually every meal. Bread and cheese. Milk. Wine. Bread was the basis of most meals. And so at the point when Jesus was telling this prayer, he too could have been saying, provide us with that bread, Lord, every day, please, because we need to eat. Now we need to be very simple in our prayers, just as Jesus was. And that's simple, isn't it? When people say, I can't pray, I never know what to pray for. Well, here we are already. We've got one simple thing to pray for. Our daily bread. The food that we're going to put on the table every day. Please, Lord, give me food to eat today. Give me energy so that I can serve you. And there you go. There's a prayer. And it's so simple, and it's so down to earth, but it's a necessary prayer. And then Jesus goes into forgiveness, doesn't he? And he uses debts as a way of actually explaining this. To be in debt or to owe somebody something, it's not good. And sometimes people owe us something. And maybe they're not giving it to us, and we have to go into an area of our understanding that enables us to forgive those people because they can't pay us back. So Jesus now is asking for forgiveness, and he sees that as a fundamental part of our prayers. He says, ask for forgiveness and remember also to forgive. Now perhaps this is something we find a bit hard. There are some people which maybe we find difficult to get on with. And there are times when maybe we're hurt by somebody or something happens that really upsets us. Then that's where we need to go to God and ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness for how we're feeling and to forgive the person who's hurt us. So not only is Jesus saying, please bring forgiveness into your prayers, remember to do that daily. Clear the mind field of everything that's been happening, people you've hurt maybe, or maybe you've been hurt, things you've said wrong, things you've done wrong. Clear that at the end of the day. Forgive other people and ask for forgiveness yourself. And then he says, and don't lead us into temptation. Now that is so, so easy, isn't it? Every day we are tempted. Maybe it's by that cream cake that we know we shouldn't have. Or maybe it's even more serious temptation. Whatever it is, we need to ask God repeatedly to help us not to get to fall into that temptation. So Jesus is being very practical again. We could also see the forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors as something to do with finance. Sometimes money can become a rift between friends or family, particularly if money has been lent or borrowed and is unable to be given back. That can cause friction. Maybe Jesus was thinking about that, because that also is an important part of our lives. All these things he says in these few sentences as guidelines for how we should pray. But if you find it hard to pray, if you find it difficult to talk to the Lord Jesus, then just say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Because that encompasses everything that God wants us to talk about. And then as you're talking and you're saying that prayer, somebody might come to mind whom you know needs prayer. Mention their name and you will have done an amazing thing, brought somebody before the Lord in prayer. I feel this year of 2014 is going to be a year when we bring each other before the Lord in prayer. When we pray for ourselves, but we also uphold each other in prayer. Where we support each other in prayer. And where when we promise to pray, we really do pray. It's going to be an amazing year. A year filled with answered prayers. Remember, life is fragile. Handle with prayer. Get your prayer life into a position where it's easy to talk to Jesus.